Welcome, listeners, to a brand new bonus episode of Oh My Work Podcast. And today we have a very special treat because we are speaking with Michaela Watanabe, who is an agent with Distel, Goderich, and Barrett. Did I say that correctly?
That's it.
Yes. Michaela, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We're very excited to have you. You're only the second agent that I've spoken with so far. Disclaimer. So it's still like a magical experience kind of because I've spoken with writers, librarians, a few editors, and agents, even though we're reassured that they are still people, it still does also feel like we're talking to others, something other than the rest of us.
Although this hopefully is going to very much dissuade you of that. I'm very much, your average person.
Okay, well, we'll find out.
We'll see.
Yeah. So we'll dive straight into it. How did you, why agenting? How did you become an agent? How did that all work for you?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting. I'm one of the many kids who, as I was growing up, I read voraciously and everyone looked at me and said, oh, you're going to be a writer someday. You're going to be a writer someday. And as I got older, I was like, that doesn't feel quite right. And I realized that, no, I'm a reader, that's not always, a lot of times those line up, right? The kids who are reading voraciously are also writers in their own right. But for me, actually, I was like, no, I love to read and I love to think really deeply about what I'm reading. And I was editing friends' papers in high school, that was sort of my role. And so when I got to college, I literally couldn't think of what else I would want to do besides publishing. I pushed myself. I was like, what? Come on. What other career path? But it was the obvious answer and it was the right one. So from there, I did a lot of internships and it just so happened that my very first internship was at a literary agency and all it was reading queries. I spent an entire summer just reading queries and I fell in love. I was like, this is so exciting. This is so cool. I'm getting to get this insider look into the writing process and into this journey, be at the front end of what the journey that these writers are on. And so I really fell in love there, but I didn't actually have a straight path to agenting. I, out of college, ended up working on the marketing and publicity side of things, for starters. So that's actually my background. Before I came to DGMB, I was first at a little marketing publicity company in Nashville, Tennessee, actually, where we did a lot of U.S. marketing and publicity for international children publishers, which was such a cool experience.
Yeah, wow.
I was getting to be really hands-on with these teeny tiny publishers from New Zealand, from India, from France, and really getting to have front row seats to a lot of the publishing process. And that also was a great opportunity because we were traveling around the country working the show floor at a bunch of school and library shows, ALA, but also the Texas Library Association and the teachers of English, conference. And so that was my first experience in publishing. And from there, I went on to work in school and library marketing at Chronicle, and where I got another really fantastic experience. And then from there, though, I always knew, I was like, oh gosh, I really think that agenting is where I want to be. And so when I had the opportunity to come on board at Distel, that was a dream come true. That's sort of the short version of how I ended up where I am.
Okay, multiple follow-up questions.
Yes.
So number one, I guess with being the literary agent, you still never thought to pursue editing as an option, or just having worked at an agency, you're like, no, this is...
Yeah, this you is know, it. I think it was really getting that... I think the first publishing job that most people know about is editing. So I think that there probably was a period on the front end when that was what I considered. But once I learned that, lit agents were a thing and then that was an option, it seemed like such a perfect fit. And this is going to feel like a weird connection, but I promise it makes some sense. I did a lot of stage managing in both high school and college. I'm like a theater nerd. And I feel like there's a lot of connection there because you get to have, in some parts, your hand on the creative process, or at least you get to be present for the front end, the making of the thing. But then also you get to put to use any managerial skills. If you're really good at bothering people with a bunch of follow-ups and, making sure that you have your hand on the entire, publishing process, right? Making sure that everything's happening when it needs to happen and being really, really in touch with a bunch of people. Once I realized that was a little bit of the editorial side in agenting, but also the managing side, I got really excited because that's kind of a nice blend of the things that I love to do anyways.
Wow. Are you a very editorial agent or whatever?
Yeah, for the most part, the agents that I've been mentored by are that way, and I am that way as well. Right. I think when I work with a client, I want to be able to have something to offer to them. And so when I read a manuscript, I'm, you know, automatically thinking, if I'm falling in love with it, I'm also thinking, okay, how else can we strengthen this, right? Like, right. What's already working and how can we amplify that? What am I loving? And are there parts where the things that I love in this manuscript have gone away a little bit? Can we bring that back in? You know, so definitely that's something that I do.
It seems like from a little, like, do you know, from the agent perspective, it seems like there's no agent that will take someone on and send out to editors without going through some sort of editing. So when we say someone's an editorial agent, is that really so distinct from other agents, or are there some agents that aren't maybe two passes instead of four or five passes, or
yeah, you know, I can only speak to my own experience. My impression that I've gotten, and again, I'm a newer agent and I'm newer to the industry. My impression is that maybe in the past there was more of a distinction, and that there were, you know, agents who did that and agents who didn't, and that was more general. But as we've gone on, I think more and more agents, the impression I've gotten, at least what I've learned and picked up, is that more and more agents are more on the editorial side. And so it's mostly a matter of, like you said, you know, figuring out, or, you know, if you're talking to an agent and thinking about signing with them, you know, finding out what their editorial style is, what that process might look like, because that could differ from person to person.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. And then also, coming on as an agent, what exactly, I mean, did you necessarily, you seem to have a lot of background in different parts of the book world. So I don't know if that's to your benefit or not, but what are they looking for? Like, okay, this is how we have to train you to be an agent. What are the sort of stuff that would be on the list of the day-to-day kind of jobs?
Well, it's hard to say. Yeah, I think there's a lot of different paths into agenting. I know, you know, some folks have been editors at a house for years and years, and then they'll move over into agenting. If you're more like me and you're more on the front end of your career, there are folks, maybe that could be your first job. I have a colleague that was, you know, I think she was an intern at our agency, and then she was hired as an assistant and moved up from there. So I think I had a bit more experience maybe than some assistants who are usually hired. But it helped me a lot, I think, because I was able to come in with a really strong background in marketing and publicity. And also, having worked at a publisher, I had a really strong idea of what that looks like what the publisher side looks like. And I had been in the room for ed board discussions where they're talking about if they want to acquire a manuscript, things like that. So all of that definitely helped me. From what I've seen, I think people really come in with a huge range of, you know, different types of experiences.
Yeah, that's cool. When you're working as an assistant, is that mainly reading queries that are coming into someone, or you're also sitting in on the way, like, deals are being made, or the way editing is happening?
It's all sorts of things. I think this is really different. You know, different assistants are going to work with their bosses in different ways. Yeah. I assist Michael Brett, who, I mean, it's like an honor and a privilege. He's such a cool client list. He's such a smart agent and so generous with his time. Like, I bug him all the time and say, oh, hey, like, I see you just did this thing. Can you, like, talk me through why you did it and how you did it and how it would be different in XYZ case? So for me, I spend a lot of my time, I read queries, I read manuscripts. Sometimes I'll read client manuscripts and give my thoughts on, and maybe line edit or bigger picture notes, you know, and then I'm doing all the normal assistant things like scheduling calls and meetings and the annoying little follow-ups and things like that. So it's a huge range, but the nice thing is that because I'm able to kind of watch how he works and also watch how my other coworkers work, we're a very collaborative agency. I'm so lucky that I have so many other agents I can, you know, because everyone has a different style, right? So I can actually, you know, ping a bunch of different people, be like, hey, so, like, how would you handle this? And it might not always be the same answer, but then I can figure out how other people do things and then figure out what my own style is going to be.
Yeah. And being an assistant, are you also starting to develop relationships with editors who you might potentially pitch one day?
Absolutely. And to be clear, so I started building my own list last year, in about the middle of last year. So I wear a lot of hats at the agency, but beyond assisting, I also have my own small client list and consider projects for myself as well. That's actually, honestly, one of the biggest joys of my current job, especially, I think, during the pandemic, connecting with editors. I'm, you know, constantly setting up calls to introduce myself and to meet people and to learn about what, you know, they're looking to acquire and make those connections and seek out people who might have similar tastes to me so that I can make good matches with my own clients and know who to submit to. But yeah, it's actually really nice to be connecting with folks right now. I know we can't do it in person, which is so sad, but it's such a highlight of my day when I get to call up a new editor and just chat for a little while and get to know them. It's very different from computer staring all day.
Yeah. Wait, so you really just reach out to an editor who is looking for the sort of stuff that you might represent? You just say, hi, can we talk? and just start building a relationship. It's like, it's really that simple.
Yeah. I mean, I think like, you know, obviously when things are in person, there might be a little bit more like, oh, here's this networking event and we're all going to be there. And then you might like meet someone that way. But then there are times when, you know, maybe a coworker will be like, hey, this editor that I've worked with, like, seems like they like would do books that are similar to what you're interested in. You should talk. Or I do this, and editors also do this, especially if you're on the newer side, like I am. If I see someone online who I'm like, oh, hey, like, I like their books, or I like the sort of thing they're looking for, I will email them and be like, hi, it's nice to meet you. You want to chat? Because that's, yeah, I mean, it's really simple, but it's a really cool way to get to know people, because how else am I going to, oh, we're all locked inside, you know?
Yeah. Well, so how are you finding that online? Are you looking at just at the company websites? Or are you stalking them on social media? Like how?
Honestly, Twitter is a huge, I have to be honest, I really am not a social media person. Right. I don't like it. If I didn't have to be on it, I wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But I think it's a huge resource. And so even if I myself am not super active on there, I do go on there to just see what's up and see who's tweeting about XYZ thing. But also I can go online if there's a book that recently came out that I really enjoyed, I might see who the editor is on that and reach out to them that way. And again, or, you know, if someone's been working with our agency and they make that connection, there are lots of ways I think to find, but honestly, yeah, Twitter's been a big one.
Seems like there are a lot of agents and editors on Twitter, even though writers seem to be there, but they also seem to be, you know, between Facebook and Instagram and all the other places. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot more readers than writers.
Twitter's the place to be. I wish it wasn't. Yeah. I really, it's just not my style. I much prefer in-person conversation or chatting on the phone when possible.
Right. When you're looking at a potential client, do you look at their social media or not necessarily?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a big factor. Like if someone wasn't on social media, that's not going to affect my decision to work with them. If I love the book, I love the book.
Right.
But I'm always curious, you know? And so I will just go see what their online presence looks like.
Right. Because some people say, you know, everyone's always anxious to be getting more followers and more this and more that. But I'm hearing
that. That does not matter. No, yeah. I just find someone who doesn't, I don't think she's on social media at all, you know? But her book's amazing. Like, that's not, you know, I really don't. Unless it's a, you know, some big nonfiction book where having a platform is really important, which I can't speak to as much because I'm really more focused on the fiction side right now.
Right.
That's the only time I think when, if it's more about like, if you have a personal brand and that's like the whole premise of your book, that's one thing. But if you're writing fiction, if you're writing kid lit, like, don't worry about it.
I think a lot of people are going to be very reassured to hear that.
Yes. And of course, I mean, I think that once you do have a book in the pipeline and it's going to be coming out, usually publishers are looking for you to have some kind of presence. And, you know, they might have some guidelines for you or suggestions. If social media is not your thing, they can actually help you and be like, hey, like, this is the sort of thing you might want to post. But it really is not make or break.
That's very, very, very reassuring. So also that you said that sometimes you'll look about for books that just came out and who's the editor on that. So how much reading are you doing? Is there any rule for how much you need to be doing versus just being aware outside of your actual work and work hours?
That's a good question. Yeah, because the thing is, like, agents, like, you know, I'm like in a constant state of feeling guilty about the, you know, requested manuscripts that I am sitting on and haven't had a chance to give my full attention and time to yet. Okay. So it is a balance. But I think it is important to be reading stuff that's coming out because that's how we stay in touch with the, you know, current market trends and what's working, what's not. And also too, for me, it's helpful to stay in touch with like Voice, you know, like the YA Voice, middle grade Voice, just like remind myself when something gets to that published stage, like what it reads like, what it feels like. So, and also it's fun, right? Like, you know, Kid Lit is really my focus. I also, you know, I'm also seeking books in the adult space as well. But it's pretty easy to like fly through a YA book, you know, in a weekend if you're feeling in the mood. And I'm lucky. I run a YA book club for some teens at a local independent bookstore in Los Angeles, which is great because it forces me to read at least one new YA book every month.
Yeah.
And to make time for that in a way that I might not otherwise.
Right. Do you specifically look for either, but not, I said not client, but not agency books at that point because to keep track of what other people are doing, or specifically looking outside your usual genres to mix it up a little bit?
I honestly mostly read what I want to read because otherwise it's just not going to happen, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
unless there's, like I said, like a book club or like something where it's like someone is waiting on me to read this book and to talk to them about it or say that I've read it. That's one thing. But otherwise, like if I'm going to be making time for fun reading, I'm going to just gravitate towards what I'm really excited to pick up.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Going back a little bit to the initial, you know, intro of how you got into agenting. When you said that you spent a summer reading queries, I don't know if you have a number off the top of your head or.
I think it was like 250 queries a week.
Wow. That's, and you still liked it? Like,
yeah, I was like, this is so cool.
Wow, Zara. That is a lot.
Yeah, that was a summer in college. That was what I was doing.
Well, I guess is the preliminary thing, like, who thought of this idea? Who thought of this idea? Or, oh my goodness, if I get another one of these poorly written, I don't know what.
I mean, at that early stage, it was just like, awe. Because I really, you know, I was still learning what the publishing process even looked like. So, So getting that insight into, like, this is the first step, you know, it was just cool. And certainly I got a few things that summer where I was reading. I was like, oh my goodness, this is a very weird, this is a weird story this person's pitching. Or I'm uncomfortable now, maybe one or two times, but for the most part, it was exciting. And I know that I flagged at least one, obviously it's been so long now, I remember zero details, but I remember that I flagged one that they ended up offering rep on, which was exciting for me at the time. So yeah, it made a good impression.
Well, let's say you flagged one out of however many hundreds, up to maybe a thousand that you read? Wow.
Over the course of just a couple months, I'd say. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But that, yeah, for that age and for that, you know, particular period of time, that's what happened.
Oh, are they telling you, because they're telling you very specifically what to be looking for, or just anything that looks like it's well-written and a solid thing?
As an intern, it was just anything that, yeah, they give me very broad guidelines, right? Because I think I didn't really know what I was doing. Like anything with good writing or that you think's a good idea.
Yeah.
So I definitely erred on the side of caution and probably passed along more than they wanted to be seeing from me. But
So from, not that you only flagged one, from all the ones that you flagged, they actually offered representation on one of those.
That's right.
Yes, oh, okay. Yes, I misunderstood that.
No.
Okay.
Oh, you know, I was flagging so many. I was like, here, look at all these great stories.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true. You're like, I would read this.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, gosh. I'm still like that. Like, oh, yeah. Okay. Wait a minute. I need to, like, think about time.
Right. Well, you're a full agent versus being an assistant and an agent. Is there a specific target number of clients that you need to be having or want to be having who are, you know, not necessarily the big name that you only need to have one, but, like, as far as middle of the road, mid-list kind of writers, is there some sort of target number, magic number you're supposed to be going for?
Oof, if there was, I wouldn't know it. No, my entire goal right now is just to be reading and to be looking for stuff that makes my heart flutter and makes me excited to work with it and pursue that. So that's my entire goal right now. I have no numbers, no particular specific goals in mind.
Right. And for the clients that you do have, are there any sort of, you got to produce X amount or just let me know when you've got something, but what's sort of that attitude?
No. Yeah. I mean, no, yeah, it's absolutely a collaborative process. Like I, you know, for the things that I've signed so far, right, I'm mostly signing projects that are at least somewhat ready to go, right? Things that have been queried. So, you know, novels that are in pretty good shape. And so just need, you know, a few rounds of editing and then we'll be ready to go out with it. But so that's just a matter of like in the author's own time, you know, I would love to submit this sometime in the nearest future, but I never put pressure on anybody to turn it around in a certain period of time. Like that's completely up to them.
Right. And how important is the, what else are you working on kind of question?
Just important in that it gives me a sense of what might be down the road for us, or, you know, if this has been their entire, one project has been their entire focus, or if they, you know, I think it just gives me an idea of their goals and their immediate goals, but I've never gotten an answer to that question that causes any concern. I'm mostly just curious because usually writers have more than one thing they're excited about. So they're like, oh, you know, like this is what I'm working on, but then I also have this one idea. Maybe this is something. Yeah. And usually, you know, so far all the clients I've signed the book has spoken so much to me that I connect to that writer's sensibility in general, right? So usually then they stay with their next project and this is, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need that right now. Wait, can you write that too? Immediately? Can you have that tomorrow?
Yeah. Where is it? Yeah. So, yeah. And even if it's something that's not necessarily one of your main genres, I don't know if you've gotten that necessarily, that sounds like, you know, you sign them because they're writing whatever kind of, you know, a fantasy, and they're like, oh, I've got a sci-fi in the works.
Right.
And you don't usually do sci-fi, but this is not your client, so now you will do sci-fi, or how does that work?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And especially, I mean, I think that's another, like, I'm very privileged because I work at an agency where we just have such a cool range of agents who have worked on virtually every kind of project. So I'm so game, and this is what I tell people, like, I'm game to follow you pretty much anywhere you go. Like, there might be a couple tiny pockets where I'm just not going to be any use. Am I thinking really obscure things? But in terms of like traditional publishing, like, what have you got? Like, I'll follow you, you know? So yeah. And especially as a newer agent, right? Like it makes me feel like very open and very ready to explore what someone might want to do. And I know I have colleagues, right? Some who maybe like had never really done picture books before, but then one of their, you know, middle grade clients wrote some picture books and suddenly they're doing picture books, you know, and that just opens a whole new door to them.
You sort of preempted what my next question was going to be, was about writers moving across not just genres, but age demographics. So that's something that most agents, it's like great, or it's like time to find, I'll keep representing, you know, the YA as long as you're writing it. But if you're looking to write other stuff, you got to find another agent.
Again, I can only really speak for myself and for, I think for the majority of the agents at our agency, from what I've seen at least. Yeah, we want to be career agents. I want to be a career agent. Like I want to move with my clients where they want to go. So yeah, there's not going to be a time where they're like, oh no, I want to write XYZ thing. Like honestly, you know, I'm looking to sign people in all of the categories, you know, age categories anyways. So that wouldn't be a problem.
I met a writer once who has an adult agent and she has a young adult agent.
Yeah. That absolutely happens. There are certain agents and agencies where that's the structure, right? Maybe they're hyper-focused on adult, right? So then they just don't have the contacts or, you know, XYZ things that makes them feel like they would be the best advocate, the best agent for their client in a different space. Right. And so in that case, you know, the impression I have is that then they are able to be represented by different people in different categories. But that's just not something that I foresee needing to happen for any of my clients.
Right. So it would just be, okay, I got to go ask which editors to set up meetings with. Like, let's go meet new people.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, oh, you're in this thing? Okay, let me go find some people. Like, yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool. Well, good for your clients. Lucky them. And then just another thing, still going back to the beginning, with that you're speaking that you worked at a small publishing company that was doing something with international.
Mm-hmm.
So it was international companies that were looking to place in the U.S. or you were...
It's a weird little setup. So the company I was working at was just a marketing and publicity company. That's all that we did. And we were doing that for these publishers that were in other countries, right? And so they were publishing in other countries, but they were also publishing into the U.S., but they didn't have anybody here, right? They didn't have offices in the U.S. They didn't have any really sort of like U.S. presence. And so we were their like U.S. presence and helped, you know, send the books to the major review journals and submit them for awards that they were eligible for, try and get them featured in various newspapers, pitch them to XYZ Place, and with a specific look to school and library. Like we did across the board, but school and library was really the main thing we were focusing on. Right. And so that gave me a really weirdly specific experience, but also was really cool because the publishers we were working with were so small, we ended up, you know, being kind of involved with the whole, like a lot of discussions beyond marketing and publicity, or at least kind of privy to those conversations. So I learned a lot really fast.
So it's almost like being a pipeline for these international companies.
Yeah. Or kind of, their U.S. presence basically, which it was very, very cool. It did mean we had some Zoom calls, I guess it wasn't Zoom back then, whatever we were using, Skype.
Yeah.
At some really weird times of day.
Yes.
International folks, but yes. I feel like we're all used to that at this point.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, been there before, yeah. And then so with the marketing and publicity, how does that help, how does that translate now with being an agent? Because it seems that a lot of writers, especially these days, are responsible for their own marketing and publicity.
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps me because I can have a pretty strong sense of what we might expect a publisher to be doing for a particular book. It allows me to be able to ask questions like, oh, are we covered in this way? Are we trying this? Or like looking for other opportunities like that. But also like on the front end, I've written a bunch of pitches. Like before I became an agent, I was able to pitch a book pretty well. And so that I brought over, and I feel like that was a nice thing that I didn't really have to learn when I got here. I could write up a pitch for a book pretty fast and easy because I was used to doing it. So that was a nice little perk.
Everyone should be your client just for that, because I think writers, when it comes to pitching, just, we don't know words anymore. How do you?
It's a different skill. It's a completely different skill. Yeah. You know, this is a bit of a tangent, but my partner is a screenwriting student, and he will write these beautiful screenplays, incredible, inventive things there's no way I could ever come up with. And then he still comes to me to write the like three sentence, because you know, that's like they require like a log line or like a really quick summary. He can't do it. He's like, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I can't summarize my book, like, or my screenplay. Like it's too, you know, it's like too broad. It's too you're too close, right? You're too deep in it. So I'm able to be like, okay, give it here. And like type out my little, this is what your thing's about. And he's like, thank you. And he goes away again. So yeah. I think that's very much a writer thing.
You think it'd be so simple, but it's not. You're like, you already wrote thousands of words. Why can you not figure this out? No, the brain does not function that way. Yeah.
Well, and you want to include all the details, right? You're like, well, the side character absolutely needs a mention. It's like, do they though?
Yeah. Is it often that you'll read a query that's kind of like mediocre, but you'll still scroll down to sample pages to be like, here's where the writing's at? Or not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I think I almost always, unless for some reason a query is like absolutely clearly not up my alley.
Right.
Like if there's for some reason like, oh, this is obviously not a fit for me. I still want to look at the writing, you know, like maybe it's going to surprise me. And I lean more on the writing than I do on the query, I would say. You know, the query is great because it gives me an idea about what your story is about, or maybe like I kind of see the query as an opportunity for me to get excited, right? Like if you mention certain, you know, get excited about the premise, get excited about a theme that's being explored, get excited about a comp that you pulled. But then I'm always going to go down and if the pages grab me, the pages grab me, you know?
Yeah. How often do you see a comp that you're like, what is this title they're referencing? Or you usually know what they're talking about?
That's a good question. I mean, there are definitely times when I don't know what the comp is. And, but the thing is, the comp is just like one tiny piece of the letter, right? So I already know the genre and I know like so much else about the thing that's being pitched that if I don't recognize the comp, like it's no big deal, but I might get curious. I might Google what that thing is. Like, oh, what's this? Yeah. I always need to be expanding my knowledge of that.
Yeah. Because, well, coming with a comp sometimes, for me in particular, it's almost like coming with another query. I'm like, I don't know what to compare it to. I don't know.
No, it's hard. It's hard. And I think people definitely stress about comps. And I don't know that they're, like, I wouldn't say they're necessary. Like, if you can't come up with a good comp, better not to have one than to have a comp that, you know, doesn't actually work. But I will say, you know, if you do have comps that you feel good about and are an actual good comp to your book, like, might as well include that because that can definitely spark some interest if it's appropriate.
Right. Okay, this is going to be a little bit of a weird question. So I'll just preface with that. That you may or may not be able to answer, but I've always wondered, because when you do a regular job application, you know, you talk about your skill set, then you talk about what a great worker you are and all these sort of things. But when you're querying as a writer, you don't talk about, you know, I'm so dedicated, I got great turnaround time.
Yeah.
You know, those things are not mentioned. So I don't know, is it just the general rule that, you know, 90% of writers are anyways pretty dedicated and you might end up with 10 that are a little bit tough to deal with? Like, you get the feel, is that part of like getting the feel of, you know, over a phone conversation, like they seem to be enthusiastic enough, or is it just you take your shot and you see what you get?
Oh my gosh, that's an interesting question. I don't think I've ever thought about that, because usually, like, it's funny, like, not, this isn't always the case, but sometimes I get a sense of people's personality through the query letter, like, even just a little bit, just in the voice of the query letter, right? Like, sometimes I just get that sense, but even if I don't, you know, the phone call is a great opportunity to connect with the person and, like, you know, make sure that you guys can communicate well and can converse it, you know, and have a back and forth and have that be a productive conversation. But I've never had a case where that, you know, my phone call with my future client wasn't wonderful. So I don't really know. I don't have a good answer to that. But that's a funny thought.
Yeah. Well, just because, you know, query letters are, you know, this is like your cover letter and there is a standard for it. But you don't write your skill set. I mean, I know that you have to be very dedicated to the book, not just as a writer, but as the agent, because you're going to fight so hard for it. But it's like funny that it's not like, what's your turnaround time? How many times do I have to call you till the edits are done?
It's true. Yeah. I don't know that I would believe it though. I think if anybody wrote like, not that I wouldn't believe it, but I feel like anybody would put, I'm super dedicated to my craft.
Yeah,
you wrote a whole book, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I know a writer who claims that like all the best books are on people's laptops at home because everyone has a great idea to write and they don't actually finish it. So
I mean that honestly, that is like, it's a feat. Like that, it's so impressive. I've never done it. That's not my lane. Like, absolutely not. That sounds so intimidating. And like, I'm absolutely in awe. And I mean, honestly, especially now, like it's always a challenge, Troy. I know that, but writing under current circumstances is just like, how are people? I don't know how people are doing it, but they are, and it's very impressive.
Yay for writers.
Yeah.
We'll just celebrate writers now.
Guys. Yeah. Yes.
We could go on and on, but I'm going to wind it down just to keep the time within a good frame. Always end off with that fill in the blank question of whatever you want to plug in. I love it when writers, editors, publishers, you know, other agents, books do X, and I really don't like it when they do X. How would you fill in that blank?
Okay. So I thought about this, and this is my truth. I love it when books refuse to let me put them down, which I think calls back to what we were talking about earlier. Like, I think this is for, you know, things that I'm considering, and also just for fun reading. Like, there are so many distractions, there are so many stressors in this world, and I almost get, like, annoyed in the best of ways, right? When you know that feeling when you're just like, I can't stop.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so gripped by this, and this is how I used to be as a kid, too. Like, as a kid, no matter what I was reading, I didn't want to put it down. And I kind of feel like I've lost that growing up. Like, you just, that obsessive nature of kids, like, it's kind of gone away. But so I love recapturing that feeling of, oh, at any moment when I'm not holding that book, I wish I was holding that book. Like, that's what I'm constantly looking for.
Well, like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Can't put it down.
Yes.
I will finish it.
Oh, yeah. I have a 3-minute gap between things. I'm going to read this book. Like, it's ridiculous, but I'm going to do it.
Are a lot of, oh, this is kind of a side question, but a lot of the genres and things that you're repping now, are those things that you liked reading as a kid, or you've kind of either expanded or changed your taste since then?
Good question. Yeah. I mean, as a kid, I was pretty much exclusively a like fantasy and like genre reader. I didn't understand why you would read about the real world. Like, I didn't care. I was like, we're here. Like, what?
Open the window.
I have absolutely grown beyond that and love a good contemporary. And so I'm very much looking pretty much across genre, but I would be lying if I didn't say that I have a soft spot for fantasy in particular. I love being both swept away somewhere completely different. And I also love that feeling of like, oh, if you just turn the right corner, like there's going to be magic there.
Oh, nice. That's the opposite. I never read fantasy growing up, and now that's basically what I write is fantasy.
That's so funny. Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. And then how would you do the opposite of I really don't like it when?
Well, I think the opposite is just like the logical opposite. Like, I don't like it when a book lets me put it down, and that usually, I mean, maybe it's just missing the special something, but a lot of times, like, I especially don't like it when I don't know quite why I should care. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I'm not totally convinced, if I'm not totally on board with a character, or I haven't been really made to feel and understand their motivation and why they're doing what they're doing. So I don't like it very much when I want to be, you know, obsessed with a book and I just haven't been told exactly or shown exactly why I need to keep reading.
Will you still force yourself to finish the book at that point, or you put it aside?
Yes, I'm terrible. Oh, I'm so bad.
Yeah.
I like have that need to finish everything sort of.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hear that. I try to like, but you're not enjoying it. This is worth, like, but it's, no, someone wrote the whole thing. I gotta read it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's that sense of completion. I can only think of, like, one or two books that I've ever not finished. I felt very, like, bad in that moment.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm doing a terrible thing.
The only reassurance is sometimes it's not because there's a such trouble writing who published it. I'm more like, I'm just not feeling it right now. Because that's a more subjective thing that you kind of feel like, okay, it's just me. Like, it's not them, it's me. I can't know if that's better or not.
Yeah, or like, I'm going to come back to this. Like, that's fine. Like, there are definitely times where I put things down and I know I'm going to return. But yeah, no, I do usually make myself power through. So I much prefer when a book is like, I feel all consumed by it rather than, okay, got to make time to read this thing, you know?
Yeah, very, very good. Michaela, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak
with you. Of course, this was so much fun.
This was a bonus episode of Oh My Word Podcast featuring agent Michaela Wattenhall. To find out more about Michaela and all the stuff Michaela's up to, please check out the link in the episode notes. To find out more about Oh My Word Podcast, please follow us on Instagram, Oh My Word Podcast, and check us out at eltenabam.com. Like, share, listen, enjoy. Tell all your peoples about it. Thanks so much for joining us. Catch you next time.